How about this one? Awesome. Okay, we'll figure this one out in a second. I have the great privilege of welcoming Corinne and Serenity and Love back from Africa, and also acknowledging that Jeremy came back with them. So if you guys want to come up, they're going to share. This is a very exciting thing for them. Yes. On the stage, really? I'm just kidding. It's exciting for them, but it's also really exciting for us because we are a part of everything that they got to do there. You know, they carry the send-off of our church with them. So this is kind of the report of what this has been like. I'll pass this one to your wife because it works.
All right. Thank you very much. It's good to be home. Just to start us off, I wanted to present to you kind of a worst-case scenario that happened to us as Christians. We got called to Africa. Many of us in this room have prayed against that, but we got called. We're here to report it is survivable and quite life-giving, actually. So we're happy to have survived it and been called. Let me just open up in prayer here before we chat with you guys. Thank you, Lord, for this chance to talk to friends here in your presence at church, Lord. I pray that you would bless our words and help us to communicate what you want us to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. We've got a slideshow. Oh, there we go. Called to serve. What is our mission? Where is our mission field? That's a bit of our theme for the talk this morning. I wanted to start off with Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That really spoke to us for all the things that God had prepared for us these last 3 months. Let's start off with our first point, what we did and our experience. We just have Serenity and Love up here with us for the first bit of the talk because they were going to share what they did. Serenity, you can go first.
So some of the areas that I worked in is they do this thing called Cell, which is like little home groups, basically, that they do every Wednesday. And so I got to lead a cell, which means that I was in charge of the worship, where I got to play my ukulele and play a couple songs, and everyone else got to sing and worship God together. I was able to lead the cell by asking the questions and keeping the conversation flowing, and I was also able to help serve them food because it was really good. I also got to help out with kids' church, so I basically took my knowledge here and brought it there and learned so much more. I got to help out with praying for and with the kids and helping them, guiding them a very little bit for only 3 months. I was able to, they do little small groups as well for the kids on Sunday morning, and I was able to lead one of those and read Bible verses and pray for them, and I also got to help clean up, which is amazing and very difficult. And lastly, I was able to volunteer at Baby's Home, which is where they raise all of the babies that they adopt, that they save. And so I was able to feed and change and bathe the babies and clean up after them. So disinfecting surfaces, washing windows, doing dishes, helping with anything that wasn't that the nannies needed help with. And then I was also able to hold a premature baby that needed some more skin-to-skin time.
Okay, Justice wasn't able to be here this morning because he has duties at home looking after dogs, but Corinne was going to showcase.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so Justice, I wasn't sure, like when we were planning on going, we had kind of said like, okay, well, how are the kids going to serve? I don't really know what they would be interested in or what would be, you know, valuable. I wasn't sure if Justice would be like, yeah, put me in with the babies. I would love to change a dirty diaper. But it was so crazy. He just stepped in and he did fantastic. And so he took initiative. He became a favorite of a lot of the younger kids. Justice was wonderful at like picking them up and running around with them. So in the baby's home, it's ages zero right up to about 4 years old. And they are in that baby's home before they graduate into the clusters, into the mother's homes. And so, you know, we had some fun toddlers and lots of things. But, you know, he did love the babies as well, like the actual little babies. So Justice helped a lot with that. He really came out of his shell and was great at sharing testimonies and prayer requests and things like that in our cell group. You'll learn that that's a big part of our cell experience, was talking about our testimonies. You don't have any notes for me. You took his notes out. I don't know what else to say. That's about what he did. Okay, you love talking.
Okay, love. Just one second. I also forgot. I completely missed our intro. So we were gone for three. Yeah, God did not call me to be a public speaker. So this is more stepping out in faith than going to Africa. We were gone for 3 months in Uganda, which is in Africa. We were serving with Watoto, which is a fairly large church there that has 18 church locations across the country. Three of those locations are villages where they house children and employ mothers, vulnerable mothers, and teach school. Amazing. So we were serving at Subi, the largest of the three villages for Watoto. So now everything we talk about is related to that. Okay.
I work at Baby Watoto. I help the nannies. I wash the windows and feed the babies and do a lot of playing.
Excellent. Good job.
That was another thing.
You guys can go sit down now.
Good job, Love. That was another thing that Love, I wasn't sure how she would be able to be, like, you know, looking after the babies. You know, is she going to be able to feed them? We haven't had very much because we're kind of old now and we don't have babies anymore. But it was crazy. She just came right in and she took over, and it was phenomenal to see her really do so well, take initiative and help out. So we all ended up doing full days. We thought, oh, there'll be lots of time for homeschool and things like that. There wasn't time for homeschool because we were really working hard every day, which is great, which is perfect. We'd rather that than be bored. Me. I forgot that we were done. Okay, so I did baby home, of course, as well. And baby home is separated out into five different areas, depending how old the babies are, and we kind of spent 2 weeks in each one. Jeremy and I have really felt called over the years to come alongside people with encouragement. Sorry if you haven't experienced that. to be an encourager, and so we really wanted, when we went, we really wanted to bring presents for the nannies, to be able to encourage them and support them, because they are feet on the ground, the ones caring for these babies all the time, whereas we just sort of come in for 3 months and get to do what we can. And so we were able to do that, support and encourage the nannies in the baby's home. What else did I? Oh, I did a, because I'm a nurse as well, I was able to go into their clinic, and I was able to do an education day with the type 2 diabetic house moms, and be able to kind of explain some basics about diabetes, and they were asking some great questions, and it was really, really fun. It's something I haven't done in a very long time, and so it was very exciting to be able to use those skills again. So that was me.
And I signed up to work alongside the maintenance department. So it's quite a large campus that we were at, with 180 homes that just house children, and then several schools, many buildings, a church. So the maintenance department is quite large and lacking a lot of tools that would make work easier. So I started out 1 month with the plumbers. Yeah, okay, so there's me on the left. That's one of the kids. Actually, I really enjoyed working in the homes doing maintenance because I got to meet the mothers every day and the kids that lived in the homes. They often liked to stare at me as I worked and wonder why I was sweating so much. Yeah, so that was one kid that was helping me take apart fittings with a pipe wrench, so I got to even do a little bit of education there. That was neat. Then I spent almost a month, with the plumbing. Plumbing actually looks like chiseling bricks to get pipes out of the walls so they can put new ones in. So that was a month of chiseling bricks with a hammer and a chisel. I did wonder if I was going to survive that portion of it. But then they gave me a break, let me working with the electricians, and they just use a shovel because all the wires are buried. So then we were doing lots of digging, which was nice. So they had a lot of security is a big issue for them, or a big priority. So they've got a lot of security lights, but anytime they're not working, we got to dig up the wire and fix it. So I did that. I was able to connect with the electricians. And then kind of my final month or last few weeks, you see me there on the right. I'm working there with Myron. He was another volunteer there. He's there a total of 5 months. He's from Prince George. We've never met him before in our lives, but became good friends with him. He's also a carpenter, so we got to go into the homes and do repairs for the mothers. Dressers that were broken, tables that were collapsing, beds that were broken, so actual carpentry repairs, and they were so grateful, because that is very low on the priority list compared to power and water. So having a team go through and do the repairs in the homes just so that their day-to-day life was more convenient and easier to raise these kids, they were so grateful.
So one day, Jeremy was in helping one of the house mothers. Her bed had broken, like the slats were kind of not working well. And so she, for months, how many months? Quite a few months, she... Every time she would like roll over in bed, she had to like do it just really, really carefully so that the whole bed, the bottom of the bed, wouldn't fall out. And so she was like, oh, please, you know, can you help me and fix this? So we fixed it. And we were friends with one of her children, one of her house sons. And he came over later that evening, and he's like, I have a present from my mother. And we got this nice big bunch of bananas from her. She was so, so grateful that we fixed, or that he fixed the bed for them. But it was something so simple that she had really been struggling for so long with. But, then we enjoyed some delicious fresh bananas. We have never eaten so many bananas in our lives. Uganda is the number one consumer of bananas per capita for all of the world, and we can see how. We didn't think we would get there, but woo, we ate so many bananas.
So serving on maintenance for me and with babies home for Corrine and the clinic, that was kind of officially what we signed up for and spent. They were hoping we would do 5 days a week, kind of 6 to 8 hours a day in those departments. But there was so much more available to do kind of after hours and on weekends. So I just wanted to highlight the relationships that we made. So like Corrine touched on, we often feel called to be an encouragement to people. So in the relationships we made, we made friends. I made friends from work, and his wife and daughter came over for dinner at our place. And I should look back at these pictures. They really help. We did board game night at our house a few times on the right there. That's a photo of actually the pastor and his wife who won the game, and the rest of us are crying. On the left is all the kids that used to come gather most evenings and to come play outside our house and chat with us and teach us Luganda. Yeah. So we took a big photo with them. So relationships that we formed were actually, in our minds, bigger than the actual physical work we did, because it seems quite lasting. We got to host cell, so their home groups are called cell groups. They plugged us into one right away, and so we got to serve a little bit there, like Serenity was saying, and I gotta keep checking my notes. Oh, and then hosting guests, yeah. So we had few people over for meals. We were able to just build relationships and share in what God's doing in their lives. They're also willing to talk about their faith and their prayers for the future, and we were able to pray with them, and they prayed for us. Just really neat interacting. Every interaction we had was really cool.
One of the other things that we were able to do is we became really close friends with our guards, because there was a guard always posted right outside of our door. They have their sort of summer break is from end of November to beginning of February. And during that time, Watoto doesn't make meals during the day. Usually there's a big lunch that's prepared every day. All of the children can have it. The guards can eat it. All of the workers can have it. But they didn't make that over that time because so many people were gone. And so we started making meals for our guards, and it was so much fun to get to know them and to minister with them. We have one guard that is now constantly sending us riddles, and then so we'll answer his riddles, and then we send him riddles back, and it's lots of fun. So, but ministering to them, we didn't even see it as a ministry until the week we left. Are we going to talk about this later, or should we talk about it now? Until the week we left, all of a sudden it was like, okay, we're leaving now. Next thing you know, we are completely flooded constantly with people coming to our house, bringing us gifts, bringing us cards, thanking us for loving them, for loving their children, for being a part of their lives, for serving. It was like really, really humbling. It was overwhelming. We couldn't imagine that, you know, we had an impact at all, really. Like, we're just hanging out and having fun. And for them, they're like, this is life-changing, which is crazy. So, I mean, you see God working in so many different areas, not just in, you know, what our normal job was. I'll start. Okay, so the need in Uganda is great. Oh, that's our home group. Okay, the need in Uganda is great. So as we spent our time there, we would learn more and more where the needs are, how difficult the poverty is, and things that we really take for granted are things that are, you know, an impossibility there. And so one of the big things is fresh water. What? Oh, sorry, it's okay. Let's do a Bible verse first. Let's bring it to the Bible first. Then we'll go. Okay, James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Of course, we definitely always have, that verse has been very important to us in our adoption journey. But this is what Watoto is doing. And it is unreal to see the reach that Watoto has and how they are seeing all of the various needs. They are not just housing orphans in an institution for 18 years and then throwing them out onto the streets. They are taking care of these children. They are taking care of the communities. They are taking care of vulnerable women. And every time they see more needs or the political situation shifts or different things change, they pivot and they see where the needs are and they make sure that they're there to help. So one thing that Watoto does is they will provide water for the neighboring community. At least in our Subi village, they have lots and lots of water. There is a great well that produces lots. And so people from the community will walk up to the top of the hill, because we are on a big hill, and they will have these jugs of water that we need to then, you know, that they then carry back down again after they fill with water. So here's these two little girls. They were up just by themselves. They had just a small jug, but every day you see, like, dozens of people coming up to Subi and collecting water and bringing it back down. So that's a huge need that Watoto's seen, and they are there to help. The water is free. They are able to get it. There is nothing stopping them from being able to do that. Whereas in other villages, they will have wells, but sometimes there's a cost to them. So that's a really big thing that they do. Okay, so then housing for the children. So, as I said, we have baby home, and so ages, when babies are rescued, ages 0 to about 4 years old, they're in baby home. After 4 years of age, they go into these little neighborhoods, these clusters, where there is one house has a house mom, and she has up to 8 children in her home. And there are 8 houses in each cluster. So they kind of form these little neighborhoods, and the kids get to know each other, and they play. They have a family. They have someone who loves him. The house mothers are vulnerable women who have either had a spouse pass away or has left them, and they are just barely surviving on their own. They can come into a toto, and they are actually able even to bring up to two of their children with them, and the children will be housed and fed and given all the medical care. So education costs money in Haiti. In Africa. And you have, and a lot of children don't go to school. They don't have the money to go. And so you'll just see them wandering around the streets all day long as their parents have little stalls where they're selling wares. The kids are just out there walking around. And so Watoto will educate. They will give all of the children education. They give free medical care. That's another thing that isn't free. But so they make sure that the children have medical care that they need. They even give them post-secondary education, and then the spiritual care and guidance that is given from day one right up until their adult years, and then past that, is unbelievable. It is like nothing that we've seen. There are so many programs for every different age group, for every different type of person, for every different stage of life, so that people are supported exactly where they are at all the time. It is really, really cool. Neighborhood program, and then you can, you can talk about that story. Okay, neighborhood program. This, I didn't really realize much about it. So Watoto wants to look after, of course, the children, the mothers in their care, but they also see huge needs in the community, in the slums, with other vulnerable women, with other children who are starving. You know, we hear of people who will go 2 weeks without being able to have any food at all. And so Watoto comes in with this neighborhood program. They bring women, vulnerable women, onto their site. They will educate them. They disciple them first. Then they educate them in a skill. So whether it be textiles, soap making, cooking, things like that. They give them a skill that will allow them to be employable. They give them business coaching as well, so that they can become entrepreneurs, start their own business, and be able to support their families. And also, Watoto does a lot of sponsoring a lot of those ladies' children to come into their schools and be able to be schooled as well if they see that there is these children are not getting any schooling. So neighborhood program is amazing.
So Watoto does a really great job of trying to look after physical needs, especially often that needs to be addressed first, but then that's their way to collect the ear of people to then present the gospel to them. Yeah. And once they've made a decision, we saw many salvations. Once that decision's made, then there seems to be a really good discipleship for further growth. Just while we're looking at these pictures, this picture on the... Whoa, they disappeared. Thank you. The picture on the left was actually our first day in your second day in Uganda. We got to stop in at the first church that was planted by Watoto. So that's kind of in their foyer. That was cool. And then on our right, that is the church at Subi, kind of on the top of the hill. So we would go there and pray from that church every Sunday morning. So that became our home church for the last 3 months. Just while those pictures are up, I thought I'd share that. I shared about the location. Yep. We heard actually two kind of heart-wrenching stories we wanted to share with you guys about. Am I sharing the twins as well?
Sure.
Okay. Watoto has a real heart for saving the kids, obviously. So they have an ambulance that will bring medical emergencies into their clinic, and then if it's a serious emergency, they can use their own ambulance to send them further to a hospital. One story up north when we were visiting, a mother had passed away, a pregnant mother had passed away, and she was deceased for an hour and a half before they got the body to the hospital. And Watoto doctors were able to extract twins that survived and are in baby's home. Yeah. And there was a lot of prayer surrounding that, and they didn't know if they even could do it, if the babies would be viable, but a real God story. And then did we even see those twins?
I believe they did point them out to us. And the neat thing is when the nannies tell us the story, or the supervisor told us the story, she's choking up about it, because it is, when you see God working in these miraculous ways, like, you can't help but be absolutely floored and touched. And so these nannies that are looking after them every day, they tell the story of the mom of these two twins. And yeah, she's just so emotionally touched by it as well.
And then another one, there's a guy, his name is Kim. He was in the next village, the next Wototo village near us. We didn't spend a lot of time there. But he's, how old was he now? 20?
17.
Oh, 17. Yeah, still a teenager. A real heart for bringing Sunday school out into the community. So on his own time, on Saturdays, he would go gather these kids, make balloons with them, do a little bit of a game, and then share the gospel with them. He opened up, actually to Myron, to one of the other volunteers, about his origin story for how he got into Wototo. Is his mother abandoned him in a ditch when he was born. But it was rainy, so the rain in the ditch washed him up onto a road where someone found him, and then took him to the police, who then found a social worker who knows that Wototo takes in these cases. So that's how he ended up as a Wototo child. And now he had a lot of wrestling to deal with the rejection and a lot of difficulty surrounding that, but he is giving back to the kids and is fully sold out for the gospel. Just very, very cool to see.
Isn't it neat to see how God... He had a plan and a purpose for that boy. And at 17 years old, after being completely rejected by his parents, God saved him. And what a difference he's making. He's also working in maintenance, and he's every little bit of extra money that he has, he is buying food so that he can also feed the community physically, because in where they live, there's a lot of poverty as well. And so God had such a huge plan for that kid, even with that start that he had had. That was so tragic.
Okay, so that kind of highlighted the need in Uganda and the amazing job that Wototo is doing, spreading the gospel and looking after people. So a huge takeaway, we still got some notes left here. We wanted to share next what God taught us. So that was actually more of our focus. A lot of our prayer going into this was that God would use this experience for us to grow as a family and to grow spiritually and really be open to what God wanted us to learn there, and he did not disappoint. Holy smokes, the things we learned. It's what made the trip so amazing. Let's start out with the Bible verse again. Colossians 2, 6-7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And this really spoke to us, this verse, on this trip, because we felt rooted. Actually, quite quickly, we felt rooted in Uganda. That's a second home for us already. And built up in Christ, strengthened in our faith 100%. We were taught, we learned many things, how prayer life increased, how to rely on God, but then overflowing with thankfulness for this whole experience that God brought us through. That verse really sums it up quite well. So we're going to go through, alternating, what lessons we learned, and you're up next.
Okay, so the Ugandan people put us Canadians to shame for how loving and caring they are. Like, you know how Canada... Not you. Of course not. No. They are so welcoming. They are so generous. They are so kind and loving. And you just feel it in like one little interaction that you have. Or we'll be sitting on the bus. We're sitting on the bus, driving through a big traffic jam, so the bus is stopped, and there's a lady sitting behind somebody on a little motorcycle. That's their like little taxis. And she looks up at us, and then she starts yelling, "Jesus loves you!" And it's so crazy how, and like, she genuinely, it is her job to make sure that everybody knows that Jesus is God, he is living, and he is working in this place. And it is so, that didn't just happen once. Like, that happened over and over again. they just have such a passion to make sure that we feel so loved and so welcome, and each other as well. So that was a huge thing that God taught us, is we need to up our game a little bit on how we love others. Prioritizing relationships was really big. So, you know, in our lives here, we get very busy. We tend to overschedule. We tend to have like, oh, well, you know, we have to be in this and doing this and over here as well. And so then sometimes our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with our community, with others, just period, can suffer. And there, things are a lot more simple, and they are a lot more intentional in prioritizing those relationships. When they see somebody, you know, if somebody comes to their house, they welcome them in. They are feeding them tea. They are giving them bread. They are, even if they have almost nothing, it doesn't matter. They are speaking the word over these people. They are praying for them and encouraging them. And so prioritizing relationships is absolutely massive. One thing I already mentioned is that something that was said to us over and over again is, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving my family. Thank you for loving my children. It was so important to them that we would come in and show a little bit of kindness and give our time and give, you know, we didn't do much. It felt like we didn't do much, but we were just there and we engaged, and they were so, so grateful.
Yeah, that was a real blessing, all of our connections there. Okay, so it really, God laid it on my heart, and seeing it in action in Uganda, the need to reflect Jesus in all of our daily activities. I find, especially personally, it's very easy for me to slip into church on Sunday, a home group during the week, but then I'll be at work, and that's my work box, not my Christian box. And so being intentional about that, God works on a daily basis. I see God move on a daily basis. When people ask me for a testimony of what God's done in my life, I love to point to our son, Justice, who's been through a lot of medical stuff, and God's brought him through it, sustained our family. That's an amazing testimony that happened quite a few years ago. But I should have seen God work last week. I've seen God do things for me at work, and I need to be able to share that. That's not nothing, and it helps strengthen my faith when I can see that God is moving in my life on a daily basis, not just in the big things. So I'm trying to shift my focus towards that and towards being aware of God's presence and the Holy Spirit, especially on a daily basis, and the all good things come from God. So when I don't fall off a ladder at work when I should have, that was probably God helping me out. So that's kind of neat. Yeah, and then being vocal about it. So I have never been prayed for so much in my life and never been asked to pray for people so much in my life there. That at the drop of a hat, they're ready. Oh, I'm crossing over to a different point. I'm going to go for it anyways. So at the drop of a hat, they're ready to pray. They want to start their meals out with prayer, obviously. But when we conclude a meal, if someone has hosted us, it is appropriate for us to leave a blessing with that family and to hold hands around the table, thank God for our time together, and leave a blessing with the family that just cooked for us. They did... when we had all the goodbyes, the letters when they came to us, kind of our last couple days there, to thank us for giving of our time and for our friendship, everyone wanted to pray for us. Walking along the path, oh, we hear it's your last day. Thank you so much for loving my kids. Let me pray for you. And so we just stop. They grab my hand and they would pray, and it was life-giving and a good example of something that we wanted to bring home. So speaking to. It was really neat that we would pray, or we expected to pray for the family that hosted us for meals. That's a really neat practice we'd like to bring back. So if any of you want to invite us out for dinner to see if we're going to stick with it, then we'll try and pray for you afterwards. So just thought I'd put that in there. So also related to prayer. We were there during the elections. We did not know. We didn't do research, and no one warned us that the elections were going to happen in January. Many people were surprised that we came in January because of the danger and potential unrest surrounding elections. Many of you guys may have saw our posts once the internet came back on, but the government shut down the internet and cell phone data. So only phone calls, no emails, no data, no nothing for about a week and a half. Just because that's what the government did around elections, along with setting up roadblocks so that the opposition party could not go and campaign. That also happened with the army, so that was cool to see. But they surrounded that whole situation with prayer. So we had a church service devoted to prayer. We showed up thinking it was a regular kind of worship and a sermon, and then, no, this is a service of prayer for the elections. Oh, that's cool. What does that look like? Well, it looks like a worship set, and then a little bit of a talk, maybe 5 minutes with a Bible verse, and then everyone standing up to pray for their country. And then another song, and then everyone stands up. Actually, we could practice it. I won't do it to you this morning, but everyone would stand up and then grab hands with someone next to them and pray for that person's business or that person's family right there in the service. It was a little bit uncomfortable the first time, but actually a really neat practice because they understand how much the Bible emphasizes prayer, and they take it quite seriously, and they see the results of their prayers.
And that wasn't just that 1 week. Like, we've seen them do that almost every week. They was, okay, now turn to the person beside you, and you're going to pray with them. They're going to tell you what they're struggling with in this area or in that area, whatever. It was so unbelievably awkward that every time I just quickly turned to Jeremy and held his hand because I couldn't possibly go to somebody else. I failed. I did. But it was crazy, though. They are so willing to pray with each other. They are so willing to share their hearts with each other. And things that are like, oh, that's so out of my comfort zone is very common for them.
It's you now.
Oh. Okay. So when... how far do I back up? When Justice got sick, it was quite a stress on my body. And so he had cancer once, and then he was good. Then he had cancer again, and then he was good. And then he got it again. And I was able to bounce back those first couple times. My body did not bounce back after that third time. And I ended up being diagnosed with fibromyalgia. So I have like full body terrible pain every second of the day. So it's pretty awful. And in the last couple of years, it's been getting worse. It's hard to get to a place where I'm like, yeah, if I push myself physically at all, I pay for it in pain. But then if I don't do anything, then I pay for it in my mental anguish that I'm just sitting there. But I was to a place, like, so when the Watoto Choir came, I was at the place where I was sitting in my chair most of the day because that was the only time that I could possibly have a reprieve from the pain. And I was thinking, like, this is my future. Like, I got nothing left to work towards. I'm not, like, Jeremy's all excited about our retirement and, oh, we get to do this and that or whatever. And I'm thinking, like, I don't know. Anyway, needless to say, back on track, Watoto Choir comes, and their whole tour is about better days, and they are talking to us as, you know, orphans that have been abandoned, that have been, you know, have gone through such turmoil, and they're telling us that there is hope. They're telling us that God has a plan for our lives and that he, if we are struggling in certain ways, he has, you know, he has made a way to he has a plan for us. He has, you know, work for us. There is still things for us to be doing. And I was like, whoa, this feels so backwards that Africa is coming here and encouraging me because I feel like we are the ones that need to go to Africa. Anyway, it's so backwards. That's where we're at. It was unbelievable, the amount of encouragement I got from that. And then we found out very shortly after that, oh, there's needs at Watoto that I actually would be able to help with. I had always wanted to be a missionary, but I thought the only things that missionaries do is they go and they build. And like, I'm at the place that there's no way I could build. There's no way I could physically do anything. But then I find out, they have such a need for people to hold babies? Are you kidding me? That's all I want. I just want to hold babies. I'm so glad there's a couple of babies coming soon. You're going to have to fight me for them, church. So it was unbelievable. And then we put the fleece out to God and we're like, okay, well, is this something we should do? Should we spend some time in Africa? And but there was like some massive hurdles that had to be overcome. And immediately God, he made a way. And so I thought, okay, wow, this is absolutely God's plan for us to go to Africa. Jeremy was unsure at first, but then he warmed up, which is good, which is really important. So then I thought, okay, I'm going to Africa. I'm in all of this pain. God has called me, so I know that he has a way for me to be there. He's not going to make me be a complete invalid while I'm over there. I bet you I'm going to be healed in Africa. Yes, I just got to make it to Africa. Then I'll be healed. Well, I get to Africa, and I wasn't healed, which was a bit discouraging, but I was able to see that each and every day he gave me the strength and the energy and the ability that I needed to hike down. It was quite a hill to walk down to the baby's home every day, to work all day long. I was not being able to work all day long. I had to have an afternoon nap every day. But I could work all day long, and then at the end of the day, after working all day, hiking up, I forget how many meters of climb it was. It was a lot. It was good, though. It was good. At first, I didn't like it, but God gave us the strength. He gave me the strength. And so what I'm here to say is that he called me to do something that I never thought was possible. I thought my life was over, and I thought there was nothing good ahead. And even in that dark time, he's like, no. You got something else coming up here. There is so much life that you have ahead. And we'll encourage you later.
Thank you. Yeah, boy, so many lessons that God taught us while we were there. Another thing that God impressed on us was to use more scripture in our daily lives. It is still relevant, not just Sunday mornings from the pulpit. Scripture is relevant to us on a daily basis. So to see them in their thank you notes they send to us, to use scripture in our thank you notes over our businesses, to kind of claim a blessing or pray a blessing with scripture over what they knew we were coming home to. And they're relying on scripture for their future because it is not easy. There is not enough jobs for everyone. And so lots of them are not earning enough of a wage to even get ahead and maybe even not even to break even. So the use of scripture, we have a scripture here. I don't think it's on the slide, though. John 14:26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. This scripture was preached to us from the pulpit there in Uganda. And one thing that stood out is that the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything that that God has said to us, out of the scripture especially. But to be reminded of something, you have to know it first. So if we're in our scripture on a daily basis, the Holy Spirit's job gets a whole lot easier, reminding us of the scriptures we need that are relevant to us in our daily life. And that kind of ties back into not having just a Christian box on Sunday morning, but I need to remember that scripture is relevant while I'm at work, just like prayer is. So a few shifts, and a lot of these shifts that we're trying to implement or that we've learned in Uganda are counteracting the busyness or the noise that we have here in Canada that Karina and I experience. Hobbies, businesses, relaxation, television, like lots of good things that aren't necessarily harmful in themselves, but they make too much noise in our brains too. And then it drowns out our prayer life or our scripture life, and it was a lot quieter in Uganda for us, so we're hoping to pick up some good habits and bring them home. Okay, home groups. For them, it's cell groups. For us, it's home groups.
Same thing.
They push them. They're very highly encouraged, and I would guess about 95% of their congregation is plugged into a weekly home group, and it was so life-giving. We got plugged into an amazing home group. We made some friends in the home groups. And they were an extension of Sunday morning where we got to sit down, read some more scriptures, and pray together, but sharing testimonies. That ties back into seeing how God worked in your life in the last week, or where you need to see God work in your life in the upcoming week, sharing that with a group of friends, and then praying together towards it, and worshiping together. We did a cappella songs in home group. There was often no music, just someone singing. I didn't know the words, but boy, I sang along a little quieter than everyone else, but I sang. I didn't want to be too much of a distraction. But the life-giving of the home groups was just neat. It was, I mean, we enjoy our home group here quite a bit, but it was reinforced in us that the importance of home groups, and if we could share that with you guys, meeting with believers on a weekly basis during the week, it is life-giving. It should not be a chore. Hopefully, it should be a priority. And you need to talk about our kids.
Okay, I alluded to it before, but another thing that we really seen went from going there was the growth in our kids. It was really, really cool to see each kid step into their role and not just sort of go through the paces of every day just doing what they needed to do. Like, they actually took initiative and did and found other areas that they might be able to serve in. Serenity, like, we originally it was the baby's home, but then she's like, oh, there's these needs in Sunday school, oh, there's this, oh, there's that. And so she was taking these initiatives and doing all of these other things that, you know, as you see the need, you go in and see if there's a way to be able to help. And so that was really encouraging. With Justice, he doesn't really like speaking out. He doesn't really like public speaking or drawing any attention to himself. But then in our home group, he all of a sudden blossomed. He became like this comedian talking about how he was unfortunately single. And he's like, he's talking about how he's 14 going on 30 or like, he's always got these funny jokes. He's cracking them up. But then he's coming each week with a testimony. He's coming with prayer requests. And so that was really, really cool. He mentioned specifically how his spiritual growth has really, really deepened and grown. With Love, I had zero clue, you know, where she would be able to be. But she stepped in and she was able to look after those children. We noticed one thing, that she has a very draw towards is children with special needs. And there were quite a few children in the baby's home that had some special needs of one kind or another. At first, it was little baby Brandon who had his foot amputated because he was so badly abused when he was at home. He had had a terrible, terrible sore on his leg. It was never looked after. It became gangrenous, and they had to amputate when they were able to rescue him. And so Brandon became her baby. She was Brandon's mother. Every time we were in there with him, she was the one feeding him. She was the one changing him. She was the one putting him into bed. Every time it was nap time, it was the cutest thing. And then there were other children who had other various special needs, but she was really, really drawn towards that. And so, you know, it just goes to show she loves so deeply that, you know, these children who are maybe even more vulnerable than the other children is who she really strives to go towards. So that was really cool to see the growth in our children and to see the possibilities and the capabilities of all of us coming in and working hard.
So that's a pretty decent summary of what God taught us while we were there, or really highlighted. But if you want to pull us aside and ask questions anytime later, we would have more stories and more things to share. We would love that. So now this kind of last section, as we came home, we were wondering what's next? What can we do here? A bit of a call to action. So 1 John 3:16 to 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So that's a pretty serious verse. We're called to use our material possessions to have pity on our brothers and sisters, and we're called to love with actions and in truth. So well, first of all, we want to put a plug in for Wototo. They are a good organization with Christ as the center. They're still a human-run organization, so it's not perfect, but they are spreading the gospel and looking after widows and orphans and constantly looking at expanding the gospel. So if you were thinking of donating money somewhere and Wototo was on your heart, we can affirm that they do good work there. And another neat kind of side note, I know many of you guys have sponsored children with Wototo already, and we were sent with some gifts for people that wanted us to get gifts to their sponsored children. That was really neat. The children love interacting with their sponsors. So their Wototo's goal is for each child to have between 10 and 15 sponsors. And it's a pretty simple process to send them emails and pictures to communicate with them. And so the kids would chat with us when we asked them about their sponsors. They would know, oh, I've got two sponsors in England and five sponsors in Canada. I think even two of my sponsors are in British Columbia. Like, they know Canada fairly well because of where their sponsors are from. And they just light up when they can talk about the letters they've received from their sponsors. So if you have a sponsor child, write them a letter. They absolutely love it. They do get it. We chatted with them about it, and it is so encouraging. As that was really neat for us to interact with them. But then coming home, finding an area in church to serve where we are here. We don't need to go off-site to serve God. We can serve him anywhere. He's prepared good works for us in our lives, just waiting for us to say yes to do them. So a few things. We had lots of time to bounce ideas around, but finding someone to mentor and encourage, or finding someone to mentor you and be encouraged, hosting a home group. These are all things. I mean, we've got Sunday school to serve with and youth group here at Hillside. We've got lonely people in the community that could use someone to talk to and share the gospel with or pray for. So what stopped us, or myself personally, has once again been busyness. So don't let a busy schedule or another limitation stop you from serving where God has you now. But also, you could come to Africa with us if we go again. So you do have options. We are dreaming about another trip one day, and every one of you would be invited. So keep that in mind. And Karine.
So I on our trip home, I had this dream that really stuck with me. Is I was dreaming about our future and kind of what that looks like. Are we to go to Africa again? Is that where God wants us? Is, you know, to serve and be missionaries in Africa? Does he want us to serve and be missionaries of sorts in Canada? Like, where does he have us? And what I was kind of shown in the dream was, you know, Canada is really, really struggling. Our culture is so against God. Our belief system, our distractions, our reliance on ourselves and our proudness that, you know, we can handle anything. We don't have a need for God because we don't have needs, because I can just buy whatever I want, or I can just, you know, things are a lot easier here in Canada. And so that dream kind of showed me, like, does God want us to go back to Africa, or does he want us to serve here? But I think in the end, it kind of is a good blend of both. We are to blossom and to where we are planted. And we are planted here. This is our home. This, for all of us, this is our home. And so are we doing what God has called us to do on a day-to-day basis? Are we taking those opportunities that he is giving us to share the gospel, or to just love on others? Like, we didn't think that we made a huge difference in people's lives by just being there, but whoa, what a difference it made in their lives. We have these poor kids crying as we're leaving, and we're like, well, we were just friendly. But we need to be loving on others. We need to be speaking scripture over others. We need to be blessing others wherever we possibly can. We need to be serving here in our body of Christ, in our church family. There are so many needs, and it is so comfortable for us to come and to sit and to absorb where, you know, from our comfy little seat. But for goodness sakes, the amount of people who come to Wototo, the percentage, I forget what the percentage is, it is massive of the percentage of people that come to Wetoto to go to worship and actually have a role. They are greeting people. They are welcoming people. They are doing children's church. They are doing, something in the 101 different programs they have because it is such a large church. But so find an area, pray about it, ask God where he wants you to serve, because he absolutely wants you to serve. It is absolutely not okay to just sit back and let life happen and, you know, just enjoy whatever. He has gifts that he has given us. If we are not using those gifts, they will be taken away. And there is no greater joy than to know that you are walking in an area that God has placed you, even within your weaknesses. Like, for goodness sakes, I never would have thought that I would be, you know, hiking up this, you know, massive hill every afternoon after working all day with babies. I didn't think that was possible, but he made a way for that to work. So don't let your limitations stop you. Is that it? That's it.
Yeah, no, just time for the credits.
Okay, now.
Okay. So we had some thank yous. We're very appreciative of our home church here. Your prayers, number one, I think had a huge impact on our experience there. We met God in a powerful way, and we appreciated all your prayers for us while we were gone. Thank you for keeping tabs on us, mainly through Facebook. We weren't very good at staying in communication any other way, but we got a lot of interaction and people watching our life as it unfolded there. And the gifts that you guys sent along that we could bring, that was really neat. We found a use for every single one of them. We ran into mothers I was working in one house, and I saw on the wall a list of birthdays, and the house mother's birthday was that day when I was working. So I was able to go back home to Corrine that evening. She put together a birthday gift from a lot of the stuff that was sent with us, and then we walked it down to her that evening. Giving out gifts was neat, and a lot of you guys gave us gifts to bring to Uganda. We appreciated that. So thank you. Thank you for giving us this time to share with you. And I think I just wanted to close in prayer. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for me and my family's time away in Uganda. Thank you for this home church that supported us and prayed for us while we were gone, Lord. Thank you for the experiences we had and the lessons that we were taught. I pray that the impacts in our lives would be lasting, a lasting change in our lives, Lord. And I pray that all of us here would be able to hear more clearly from your Holy Spirit and serve in the areas that you've prepared for us so that we can make a difference for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Isn't that cool that we get to be a part of that journey with them? I personally am blessed knowing that we can send a part of us to go and fill the Great Commission in missions. Isn't that amazing? We're just going to wrap up this morning. Thank you for being here. We're going to pray. Lord, we just thank you that you call us to be a giving church, but also a sending church. That, Lord, the gospel is not just held and contained within the four walls of this church for us, for our comfort and for our own edification, but it goes out to the far reaches of the world. Lord, that you are calling the lost. You call us to be with the orphans and the widows. Lord, so we pray that you would challenge our hearts this morning as well. Lord, that we would ask the question, is it me, Lord? Are you sending me? And that we wouldn't shirk away from the answer. So Lord, we pray whatever that looks like in our lives, you would push us and stretch us for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of the gospel and the Great Commission. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you next week.